Book of Exodus. Chapter 20 and chapter 34 and book of Jeremiah 32. And we'll use a lot of scriptures tonight. Exodus chapter 20. We'd like to begin reading in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. We'd like to go over here to chapter 34. Read a couple verses there. Verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. We'd like to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. We want to preach tonight on the subject, does your sins affect your children? Does your sins affect your children? I believe these verses teaches us that the Lord visits iniquity. The Lord visits iniquity. That word visit means severely punishes sin. Severely punishes it. I believe the effects of our sins not only falls on us, but it falls upon our children, upon our grandchildren, upon our great-grandchildren. Our children have to suffer because of our sins. Our families have to suffer because of our sins. We ourselves suffer because of our sins. You may be sitting there and saying, well, I don't believe the Lord would do that. He just said He did. And so the Lord does deal with our sins. And so we better listen, we better take heed to what God's Word says. whether we like it or not, our sins affect our children. And I want to use some illustrations tonight from the Word of God that shows us that this is true. I believe that's the only way that I can prove to you that this is true. And so my sin causes my family to suffer. Your sin causes your children also to suffer. And I want to show you that here with a few Bible characters here in the Old Testament. We like to begin reading in the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let us look at verse 8. I'm in the book of Exodus. Let me get back here where I'm supposed to be. I didn't think that looked right. You preachers know what I'm talking about, don't you? We want to notice Adam, first of all. Adam sinned, and it affected the whole human race. And that also included his children. And so Adam's sin had an effect upon his children. His children were sinners because of Adam's transgression. And of course we are too. Now in verse 8, he says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." And so all of us know this, that here in this verse, that Adam and Eve had two children, Cain and Abel. And we see here that Cain rose up, killed his brother. Now, in the back here in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us why. "Not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Where did he get his evil works? Where did he learn to sin? Where did he get it from? He got it from his daddy. Adam reaped what he sowed. And so Adam sinned, and it cost him. Adam sinned, and it affected his children. Well, boy, I never thought about that. You know, I believe today we need to get our thinking caps on. We need to stop and think and realize tonight what the Word of God has to say. I believe this is a very serious subject. It's a subject I believe that we don't realize the truth of. We just go ahead and just sin, don't think anything about it. Don't think anything's going to happen. And all the time, God says, I am going to severely punish sin. I am going to visit your iniquity. We are not going to get by with it. We can laugh at it. We can think it's funny. We can think that we're real big, you know, that we're really proving something to somebody. In reality, if we're saved by the grace of God, God is going to visit our iniquity. And no doubt all of us that are saved by the grace of God, I believe we're really deep down, I believe we really realize that. Because the Lord has had to visit us. Now, let's notice in the book of Genesis again here. In the book of Genesis chapter 6. Let's notice verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want to go over a couple more chapters and read in the 9th chapter. And begin reading in verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So we see here that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now let's notice what happened to him when he got off the ark. In the first place, he shouldn't have gotten drunk. Sin. He shouldn't have been naked. Sin. I cannot understand how a Christian can dress half naked. With half of their body parts revealing. I can't understand that. I believe that's a sin for a Christian to do that, and God is going to visit that sin. You can do what you want to about that. But as a servant of God, I've got to preach these truths to you to try to show you what's going to happen if you continue on in that sin. God is going to visit that sin. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to recognize it as being the truth of the Word of God, that's entirely up to you. But God is going to visit that iniquity. And so if he hadn't have gotten drunk, none of that would have happened. We see there in verses 24 and on through there in the next few verses, Canaan was cursed because of Noah's sin. And then in the 10th chapter, in verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. Now we have what? We have the fourth generation. The curse went all the way down to the fourth generation. Now keep that in mind from here on out. Because you're going to have some children. You're going to have some grandchildren. You're going to have some great-grandchildren. And when you look at those little grandbabies, think about that. And so, Canaan was cursed, and it was all because of Noah's sin. Y'all see that tonight? Are you following me? We cannot sin without reaping what we sow. That has been the law of God right along, and it's going to continue to be the law of God. And so what you sow, you're going to reap. And we see a little bit further on that Ham had a son named Cush, and Cush begot Nimrod. Nimrod was Cush's son. And Nimrod, at the first, the beginning of the kingdom, of his kingdom, in verse 10, we see was Babel. And that's the first we see Babel mentioned, which later on becomes Babylon, which means confusion. And so we have Babylon coming out of all of this. All because of Noah's sin. Now let's get a little bit closer to you. Let's notice Lot. I'd like to notice Lot. Go back here to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, let's notice verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well covered, well watered, where everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Abraham's nephew here, Lot, we'd like to notice a few things about him. Abraham was to be blessed of the Lord. And we see that Lot went with Abraham. And first of all, Lot separated himself from Abraham. And then he pitched his tent toward Sodom, that very wicked city. He just pitched his tent toward that direction. Now keep that in mind. He just pitched his tent that direction. And I believe that this was the first step in getting away from the Lord. When he got his eyes on the world, he got his eyes on pleasures of this life. And I believe that that's exactly what Lot did. And there's many of young people today are doing the very same thing. They're looking out there at the world and they say, my, how bright these pretty lights are. How great this music sounds. What fun it looks like they're having. But you have no intentions of getting involved with that kind of life. You have just pitched your tent toward that direction. That's all you've done. You're not there yet. But you're right on the edge. You're just about ready to take that step into this big, wide world. And at this point, he's going to create some real problems for himself, and he's going to create some real problems for his children. Now let's notice in chapter 19 and see if this is not so. In verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat. Where is he at now? Huh? He's in the gate. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now notice, he went from pitching his tent toward Sodom to now being in the gate of Sodom. Now he's sitting there in the gate. And many today are seeing how close that they can get to sin and not partake of it. They're just right on the brink. They've just got another step. Kids, I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to save you a whole lot of heartache. And a whole lot of heartbreak. And keep the Lord from visiting your iniquity. Now he wasn't even a witness to his people. In fact, in verse 13 and 14, he says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Boy, he had a great testimony, didn't he, before his sons-in-laws? Huh? And we're trying to live like the world, act like the world, get involved with the world, and think we have a testimony down there with them. We see also that this sin affected Lot's daughters. Didn't it? It affected Lot's daughters. What happened? Their husbands were burnt to death. Did his sin affect his children? Lot should have gotten out of there a long time ago. But he lingered. It'd be awful for me to lose my two sons-in-laws. Burned up in a fire because of my sins. And so we need to listen tonight and realize that people suffer when we sin. When we don't stand up for the things of God. Our children suffer. We suffer. Everybody around us suffers. Let's notice here in Genesis 19 and verse 15. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered. While he lingered. I'm not going to get out of that sin right now. No, sir, I just got involved in this. I ain't about to back off now. Boy, it took a lot to get where I'm at now in this world of sin. And I'm not about to back off now. But he lingered. And a lot of God's people tonight are lingering. Knowing that they need to confess that sin. They need to get rid of that sin. They need to stop that sin. But they're still in it. They're still lingering. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. The angels of God had to literally drag Lot out of there. He didn't want to come out. Now notice in verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come and let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. they were real good friends with the Lord. No. They were enemies of God. And the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Benjamin. And the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Real good friends of the Lord? The Moabites? No. The enemies of God. And so we see that he got his own daughters pregnant. We see also that the Moabites and the Ammonites were enemies of God all the way through the Bible. And so the Moabites and the Ammonites were the result of Lot's sin. Hey, listen to me. Do y'all see how this sin just snowballs when it's not taken care of, when it's not confessed, when it's not made right? Huh? You're not going to get by with it. I'm not going to get by with my sin. None of us are going to get by with our sin. I don't care how small you think it is, how large it is. We are not going to get by with our sin. And so we see that his daughters reap Lot's sin. I don't want my family to be the enemy of the Lord. I want to live my life in such a way that my children will be friends of the Lord. Not the friends of the Moabites or the Ammonites, but friends of the Lord. And that they'll fight the battle with me, not against me. Now, let's go over here to Joshua, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, did Achan's sin affect his own children? Let's look at verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned." Why can't we say that? Why can't we say that? That plain. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus, have I done? You know why? We're too proud. One of the reasons. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achan said, I have sinned. His wife and his children suffered because of his sin. And we may not want to accept that. But I say again, our family suffer because of our sin. And may we that are heads of our home take a stand for the things of God. May we fill our place that God has put us in. If we don't, our wives and our children are going to suffer. Boy, does that do anything to you men? She won't let me. She'll divorce me. Hang on just for a minute. I'll get back to that. Let me say this. Christ is head of this church. And if you don't submit to Him, you're going to suffer. Husbands, if we don't take our place with our children, we're going to suffer. And they are going to suffer. It's our responsibility to discipline our children. And wives, you better let them do it. I'm not going to whip my little baby. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Children, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon earth. Honor, respect your mother and your dad, that your days may be long upon earth. Talking to Brother Titus a little bit about this today. If they can be lengthened, evidently they can be shortened. I don't know. You'll study that theological thing out there. Let me know what you come up with. But the thing is here that the Lord said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon earth. See how easy you can make it for your mom and dad instead of seeing how hard you can make it for them. You're not going to be around the house but maybe a few more years. You get 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, get out on your own. You can do exactly what you want to do. But while you're home, try to see how happy that you can make it for your mom and dad instead of seeing how miserable you can make it for them. Your mother went through death having you. They've given you a roof over your head. They've given you a place to live. Given you food on your table. And you want to kick them in the teeth for it. You say, Brother Jones, that's too hard. You got a few more years. And you're going to have your own. And you're going to wish 100,000 times you would have made it as easy as you possibly could for your mother and your dad. So, sin did affect his children. Let's notice Eli in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Now, we want to notice how Eli dealt with his children. Look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. My, how wicked. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, and the judge shall judge him, but if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. They hearken not unto the voice of their father. Because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now, in verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. The Lord said, we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. We're to love Him more than husband, wife, children. And He said, honorest thy sons above me. You're asking for trouble when you do that. Those kids needs discipline, and you don't discipline, and you run your husband just about into a nervous wreck. You won't let him do it. Notice what happened here. And wherefore the Lord God in verse 30 of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honors me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. Not going to be lived to be very old. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. Eli, why are you honoring your sons above me? He was saying, your sons will die if you do it. Now, is that right or not? Is that what he said or not? You can do what you want to with it. Mamas, daddies, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to put anybody or anything above Him. And so, yes, His sins affected His children. He had the responsibility of restraining them. It's not just enough to speak to them sometimes. Look at verse 13 in chapter 3, 1 Samuel. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Wives, you better allow your husband to discipline your children. I hope you all never get away to be able to get away from this sermon. By God's grace, I've tried to keep the judgment of God off my children. Offer my house or my home. Listen, if we don't restrain them, God has a way of restraining them. If we don't, did not the Lord restrain His children? Bet you 100,000 times he wishes he had of. God killed both of his sons. God did it. Killed both of them. My wife used to tell that one sitting back there. If I don't punish you, the Lord will. And I would much rather do it than the Lord do it.